Let's read together Job 33. In this chapter, we have the continuation of Elihu's first speech. In all of this chapter, Elihu's speech is addressed to Job himself. Let's begin by reading the first seven verses of this chapter. Job 33, beginning with verse 1. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth, my tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Job 33, with some background notes. In Job chapters 3 through 31, we had the dialogues between Job and his three counselor friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Then beginning in chapter 32, a fourth counselor named Elihu comes on the scene and begins to give his opinion, not only to Job, but to the other three counselors as well. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar all maintained that Job was suffering because he had sinned, and they accused Job of hiding that fact. Elihu doesn't directly accuse Job of some personal or secret sin, and he doesn't say that Job is suffering as punishment for sin, but rather that Job is suffering because God wants to teach Job something. In other words, Job's suffering is not punitive, but educational. Elihu, of course, comes closer to the truth, because Job certainly is learning more of the ways of God through his experience of suffering. But even Elihu does not have the complete picture. However, Elihu does prepare the ground and pave the way for God to speak directly to Job. After four speeches from Elihu in chapters 32 through 37, God will then speak in chapters 38 through 41. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this 33rd chapter of Job. Doctrinal point number one. In his first speech, Elihu requests Job's case. In his first speech, Elihu requests Job's case. Verses 1 through 7. In these first seven verses that we just read, we see that Elihu wants to take on Job's case and help Job understand what's going on. Please listen to me, says Elihu. I have a lot of words to share with you. Remember in chapter 32, Elihu said he was bursting at the seams with words to share with Job. Look again at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 32. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. Job 32, verses 18 and 19. Elihu guaranteed Job in verse 3 of chapter 33 that his words would be true and sincere, and that he would not lord it over Job with his arguments as the other three counselors had done. Verse 7, once again, surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. After all, Elihu was just a mere man of clay like Job. They were both given life by the Spirit of God. Verses 4 and 6. Verse 4, the Spirit of God made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And verse 6, truly I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. But Elihu did want Job to marshal his words and present his case as best he could before Elihu for examination and analysis. Verse 5, if you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. In his first speech, Elihu requests Job's case. Doctrinal point number two. In his first speech, Elihu reviews Job's charge. In his first speech, Elihu reviews Job's charge. Verses 8 through 11. Job chapter 33, beginning now with verse 8. Truly you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words, saying, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there is no iniquity in me. Yet he finds occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. In these verses, we see that Elihu has heard all that Job has said, verse 8, and now he summarizes all of Job's claims. Job says, Elihu, you claim that you are pure and innocent without any guilt. Verse 9. And you say that God counts you as an enemy without cause. Verse 10. And you say that God watches every step that you take and has unfairly put your feet in stocks. Verse 11. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. And so we see in these verses that in his first speech, Elihu reviews Job's charge. And doctrinal point number 3. In his first speech, Elihu refutes Job's claim. In his first speech, Elihu refutes Job's claim. Verses 12 through 33. Let's read verses 12 through 18. Job 33, beginning now with verse 12. Look, in this you are not righteous. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. In verse 12, Elihu tells Job that he is not right in his position. He does not accuse Job of some hidden personal sin, as the other three counselors had done, but he says that Job was wrong to dare and question God as to his ways. After all, God is greater than man and does not have to give an accounting of his words and ways to anyone. Verse 13, why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. However, says Elihu to Job, God does speak to man. But man does not always realize that God is communicating. Verse 14, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. God can speak to man in dreams or visions at night. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds. Through this means God can guide men and warn men and keep him from pride on the one hand, and preserve his life from danger on the other. Verses 16 through 18. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. God can also speak to man through pain. Verses 19 through 22. Let's read these verses. Job 33, beginning now with verse 19. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed, and with strong pain in many of his bones, so that his life abhors bread, and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones stick out which were once not seen. Yes, his soul draws near the pit, and his life to the executioners, or messengers of death. It doesn't take much insight to realize that Elihu has Job in mind here, right? So Elihu's overall point is that God is using Job's suffering not in a punitive way for sin that Job has committed, no, but rather in a pedagogical way or educational way to speak to Job and to teach Job. Now, this is certainly a biblical truth, that God can speak to us and teach us through suffering, as C.S. Lewis wrote in his well-known book, The Problem of Pain, quote, God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. End of quote. God can also speak to man through angels. Verse 23. If there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness. Now, if God does use an angel to communicate with a person, it is a rare event. One among a thousand, which should be a guideline to believers who think God's angels are speaking to them all the time. In verses 24 through 28, Elihu tells Job what will take place if a person will listen to what God is saying through these various means. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 33, beginning now with verse 24. Then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. Then he looks at men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and it did not profit me. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. Verses 24 through 28. Clearly, Elihu has Job and his suffering in view here. And notice from verse 27 that Elihu does believe that Job has sinned. However, for Elihu, Job's suffering is not punishment for that sin. No. Rather, God is using Job's suffering to speak to Job and to teach Job. And if Job will listen, he will be restored to health and his joy in the Lord will return. We see in verses 29 and 30 that Elihu believes that God often uses these means to speak to man and to prolong his life. Verses 29 and 30, Behold, God works all these things, twice in fact, three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. And now in verses 31 through 33, Elihu challenges Job to speak up if he has any questions about his analysis of Job's case. If not, then keep silent and listen, because I have much more to say, says Elihu. Verses 31 through 33, Give ear, Job, listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom. In his first speech, Elihu refutes Job's claim. And that brings us to our practical application for Job chapter 33. Use a person's name when counseling them. Use a person's name when counseling them. Now, we've already seen that Elihu is a better counselor for Job than Eliphaz, Bildad, or Zophar, because Elihu comes closer to the truth concerning Job's suffering. Another way in which Elihu is a better counselor to Job is that he relates to Job more on a personal level by using Job's name when he addresses him. The three other counselors, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, do not use Job's name. Three times in his dialogues with Job, Elihu addresses Job directly by name, twice in this chapter and once in chapter 37. Look at the first verse of this chapter, Job 33:1. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. And Job 33, verse 31. Give ear, Job, listen to me, hold your peace, and I will speak. And in Job 37, verse 14. Listen to this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar never mention Job's name either directly or indirectly in their dialogues with their friend Job. How impersonal. It was like they wanted to keep their distance from Job. Using a person's name when counseling them is so much better for breaking down barriers and building relationships. How often our Lord used a person's name when counseling them and teaching them? Use a person's name when counseling them.